Welcome into In-Game Chat for Saturday, July the 18th, correct, 2026, Season 20, Episode 22. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show. Everybody, if you want to get in touch with us, well, hit us up on the Discords there. We've got that going on. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Blue Sky, ingamechat.net. Go to ingamechat.net. That's where you'll find all the links to get in touch with us. That's where you'll find everything that you need to find out about us with emails and Facebooks and Twitch as well. Discord, twitch.tv. Go there, type in game chat. You'll be able to find us and watch the show live. And also join in the chat room with everybody else there while we broadcast. So feel free. Thank you so much. And let's go ahead and jump into... Well, let me do this before I forget. Let me do the thing. Do the thing. I don't see Bama Bryant in there to remind me, as he normally does. Hey, a big congrats to Lethal Migraine. He got a job. He probably will lose time to tune in to us. But anyway, he finally got his job. Oh, there he is. There's Bama Bryant. So, oh, buddy. Really glad you got the job, man. Now you finally get to move to Seattle and work out there. Maybe you can see Jimothy while you're out there. But yeah. Welcome back to the show, and let's jump into what we've been playing. RJ, I'll start with you. What's been going on in your world of gaming, sir?
Well, I've been playing a lot of MLB The Show 25, but I'm still trying to work with that glitch I've been dealing with in terms of stamina for my custom players. So, I mean, I tried everything I could. I mean, I've looked at looked online. I've made changes in the team's training. I tried starting over franchise mode over and over again. Deleted the player and remade him again. Things like that. But I've exercised all my options, man. So all I could do is just send a support ticket to Sony Santa Monica and see what that does, because everything I tried didn't work.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. But other than that, played some more Virtua Fighter 5, Revo. Haven't played League in a while, so I finally got back into that this past week and did a little better than I thought it would, because I was a little rusty. Hadn't been on there in a few weeks. So I even had a winning record in some League play. So there's still some things I've still retained in that thing, instead of losing, instead of how it usually is, you know, how you lose muscle memory playing a game and how to do things like that. It takes a few games to get back into the swing of things, so that's what happened with that one. And other than that, GTA Online, they've added a new heist in the game, the Court Center. So it's basically art heists. Things like that.
You mentioned something about Rockstar doing, because I don't have it in my new stuff, but you mentioned something about Rockstar doing.
Yeah, along with the new heist that they put out for GTA Online, they also nerfed basically all of the other heists in the game as well, which has made all the grinders of GTA Online a little upset with that, because what they did was they took the payout and dropped the payout of every heist in the game, and then it's like a penalty. If you do it over and over and over again, the payout gets lower and lower until it resets the next week. So it's pretty obvious what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop the progress of the grind and get you to buy more in-game currency, the shark cards. So it's they said it was something to fix the economy or anything like that, but it's pretty blatant what they're doing, because I noticed that as soon as they put those updates up, there was a sale on the shark cards in the PlayStation store. So they say you get an extra a bit of in-game currency for buying the thing. But when you have, in order to get these heists in game, you have to buy certain things. Like if you want to do the VIP missions for a celebrity, Dr. Dre, you have to buy an agency. And that's not cheap. You want to get into the Kyle Perico heist, which is one of the best grinding heists in the game. You have to buy a Kasatka, a submarine in game. Last I checked, it was around 2.5 million in game currency to buy that thing. You know, if you want access to all the things, you have to buy something, right? So if you're forced to play something other than the one that you're grinding on, the thing that you already got, you've got to buy more properties to get access to it, which means spend more of your in-game currency, which you're going to run out of. So you got to earn more money to buy the stuff. And if you can't earn it fast enough, well, they're going to make the grind tedious so that you break down and buy a shark card.
I feel like calling it a grind is already a tedious thing, you know?
Yeah, well, make it more tedious to make it
right.
More.
Right, yeah, I get
that's
that.
The thing. Yeah, now, it's nothing new. We've seen it before with Destiny, when they when the players caught them doing that a while back. But it was a heck of a lot more subtle than this is. This is blatantly obvious what they're trying to do. They're trying to encourage more people to buy more shark cards in game. So that was that going around. Now they've made some changes here and there. I think they've responded to some. I've seen some articles about them. Rockstar responding to the backlash, but still the initial nerf of every heist in the game.
Yeah,
that really got everybody's attention, especially the grinders, who play this game regularly.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, but outside of that, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week. Yeah.
For me, it has been it's mostly been Marvel Snap, because that's just I do a lot of that now with my phone, and I've really enjoyed it. Now that I've caught up with all of the cards, I can look at, you know, I've talked about this, I'll look at any deck now and it's just like, oh, that looks like a fun deck to play. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to worry about, do I have the cards in order to enjoy that deck? Or
yeah. Because you got them all, didn't you?
I did. Recently? Well, yeah. You know, they release at least one a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have, you know, I've made it so that I'll always be able to obtain whatever the new card is
right
each week that comes out, and it won't be a problem. But that's the thing with it, is that now I can, you know, I see a deck online that it's just like, oh, that's a really cool looking deck, or it looks like that'll be fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
I can slot that in. So now what I want more deck slots in the game. That's one thing. Like they will change powers on cards, they will change text on cards and what they do, or clarify different things. They will, you know, they'll put in some quality of life improvements, but the one they haven't done since as long as I've been playing the thing is deck slots.
Is there a charge for them?
No.
Okay.
No. There is a set amount that everybody gets, and that's it.
Okay.
They do not, they won't, I don't know what the deal is, but they won't up, you know, I have so many slots. And the thing about that is that a lot of the slots fill up and I use them for specific purposes. There's one deck I made that has nothing but single cost cards. They're all one cost cards, because every now and again I get a daily mission thing of playing one cost cards. And it's just like, oh, I can slap that deck in, just knock it out.
Mm-hmm.
I won't win the match, but I'll play my 10 one cost cards in no time. Done.
Mm-hmm.
They'll sometimes do it with two cost cards. So I have a deck that's nothing but two cost cards. They'll do it with three and four and five. Now, the higher you get in how much the cards cost, the less of them you have to play. I think at most when you can have one that says play six, which is the up there as far as the cost. You only have to play two of those at most, sometimes one, sometimes two. But with one cost, you got to play like 10, with two, I think you got to play eight or something like that. Then there's some, you know, threes. I think maybe you pay five of those or something, three costs. So whatever. But I've made decks for that. There are some decks that I've built specifically for one of the archetypes of destroy, where you destroy your cards or where you move your cards, all to kind of fit in, you know, to the thing I do. And then they also have special limited time event games. And I've got decks specifically built for those limited time event games as well. So it gets more and more difficult when I see a deck that I want to play. Which deck am I getting rid of so that I can play this new deck? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of annoying, and it's been that way for a while. Now, I had, and I still do have, you know, on my notepad at the PC at the house, tons of previous decks that I played, the codes that, there's a string of texts, nonsense type texts, not words or anything, just numbers and whatever. But there's a string of them, long symbols, numbers, whatever. But they, what if you put those, that code, if you copy the code and put it into your game, it'll fill the deck with what those cards are. In other words, every deck gets its own code. And so I've got a list at home of just previous decks that I used to have. Because I was trying to save those in case I wanted to go back to them. And I'd put a little description. It would still list out the cards that were in the deck, but I would still put a description of what I was using them for, how I was playing them. Because that's how obsessively crazy I am over trying to keep things, how I hoard digitally, right? We've talked about it.
You know, it sounds like, this sounds like a setup to for making a charge for extra slots.
I would love to, I mean, maybe.
Save those codes.
But this, I mean, the game's been around for, I don't know how many years now.
But look, look, well, if it's any consolation, GTA's online's been around for what, 13 years?
Yeah.
14 years, so yeah. It's never too late to get a charge out of someone.
No, no, not at all. What am I? I'm looking for when this thing came out. The game was it was released on my birthday. The game was released on October 18th, 2022, after a period of beta testing. So, you know, here we are 4 years later, and they still have not. They've never increased the deck slot. It has always been what it's always been. You know, they have upped the amount of like in-game currency or credit or whatever it is, there's different things there. They have upped the limit on those. They went from 10,000 to 30,000, which is fine. You know, they've done a ton of different things for quality of life. Never done anything with the deck space, which I really, it's annoying. There, I have, you know, we've talked about it on the subreddit for it and everything else. Sure, if you want to charge me for deck space, go ahead. You know, $5 for 10 more slots or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they may be checking for a willingness of the player base to do that.
Well, personally, I think, well, I say personally, I don't know. I feel like there's got, I feel like it's something they would have either done by now or, like you said, would have charged for it by now if they could. I feel like maybe because it's been 4 years here that there must be some limitation that they haven't been able to work around yet to expand the deck slots. Now, I don't know if it takes up memory or what it, you know, I don't know if it's got to be a certain size of a game in order to fit on a mobile phone. That's where I don't know. I have no idea. But they never increase the deck slot. And that, you know, that kind of sucks. So there is that. So we didn't talk about what we played last week, and I feel like.
Yeah, we had too much news going on.
I know. I know. And I feel like I missed, you know, talking up. Some games that I played, but in the same instance, I'm hitting my brain and I'm like, I don't know what I played. I feel like it was probably some demos. You know what? I think it was. I played a lot of NextFest demos, I think, that I never got to talk about. And at this point, I'd never be able to tell you much about them because I'd have to go back to my, I'd have to go look at my playlist to see what I played in that time. I do remember some. I do remember, but I don't remember their names. If I saw the screen, if I saw, you know, like the screen, the box art and that sort of thing, I'd be able to tell you. Because I do remember.
Can you at least remember the genres?
No, well, there's a game that was called, I think it's called The Devil's Due. I think that's the name of it. It's a poker game.
Okay.
But it's got modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little bit Bellatro-esque, but not necessarily. It's a demo.
Yeah.
Basically, it's you playing against different characters from the different layers of hell.
Let's see. I pulled up a description here. It says, you lost your soul in a poker game against the devil.
Right.
Now trapped in the infernal depths, your only hope is to fight your way back to freedom. You'll face a diverse gallery of monstrous foes and nearly impossible poker battles. But luckily, you're a cheater.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good. It's got this whole opening song, which is really good. Like, they put a lot of effort into this thing. Unless it's all done by AI, which would make it really bad. But I have no idea on that. But they got this whole song that opens the thing. It's done in a very marionette play style type thing.
Mm-hmm.
The characters you face again, I swear one of them's a damn garbage pail kid come to life.
Mm-hmm.
I swear it. But
These things look like the embodiment of the seven sins.
Yeah. There is. There's a lot of that in there, because there's the seven different layers of, because there's seven rounds that you play through. And when you start, at least in the demo, when you start, you get two like modifiers, and you have HP, they have HP, and if you play a hand that's greater, well, it doesn't matter. If you play a hand, and there's a whole scorecard, you don't have to remember what the scoring is. When you have, and by the way, it's not Texas Hold'em, it's regular, what, five-card draw type thing?
Yeah. So it tells you what the hands are on the scoreboard on the side?
It tells you what the score for the hands are.
So like full house.
Exactly.
Yeah, two pair, things like that. Yeah.
You can bring up a list that'll show you, like, here's what a full house looks like. You can bring up a list that tells you what they are. But on the side, it tells you what the score is. So, I mean, you could have something that, first off, everybody has a defense. You have a shield, that type of thing. Like, I don't know what you start with, but, you know. And so whatever the points are that you're about to lay down needs to be above that shield in order to do damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just keep doing that over and over again, and eventually you whittle them down and, you know, you move on to the next. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole, like, each level has one, two, three, four to five. I think it's four people you have to play against.
Mm-hmm.
With some middle rounds in between to where you can replenish your HP. You can spin a wheel for a different, there's a wheel with a bunch of different things on it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it lands on, you get benefits of whatever it may be. Or sometimes it's not a good benefit, so you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a cheater, you can stop the wheel at any time on whatever you're trying to do. You just got to be careful, because it doesn't immediately stop.
Yeah. It's a timing thing.
Yeah, you can let it slow down and land on whatever it's going to land on. Mm-hmm. You can stop it immediately, and it'll stop, but it will have a little bit of give there. So you have to be careful on what you're going to land on.
Yeah. Can you be caught cheating?
Yeah. No. So yes and no. If you cheat, and the little mini games that you do are not considered your cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're actually playing a hand of poker against someone, and you want to use some of the skills that you have that are cheat type skills, there are, I can't remember what they're called, like clouds of suspicion or something like that. Each player you're playing has this row of clouds above them. And if you cheat once, that's like one cloud. If you cheat again, it's going to take up two. If you get to the very end, which it fills up fast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get to the very end, there's like an automatic 30 HP hit against you. Without them playing a hand at all, that you get 30 HP knocked off if you fill that up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go around that doesn't cheat, you'd lose one of those clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's modifiers to where every time you disregard a specific card or throw away a specific card, you'll revive, you know, you'll get two of those clouds back type thing. You know what I'm saying? You'll drop two suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's modifiers of all types. There's one where if I get rid of a jack, it knocks off 20 of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I discard a jack. So there's a bunch of different options and different things. I haven't even gone through all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. So I'm looking forward to that game coming out. I played another game that, and I can't remember the name of it. It starts with an R, and that's about as good as you're going to get out of me. It's a time loop game. So you wake up on this space station, and you're the only one there. And you sort of kind of I say you sort of suffer from amnesia. I believe the demo was built specifically for the demo. In other words, this part you play for the demo of this game is specifically for this demo. So I'm not exactly sure how it unfolds in the full build, which is not out yet. But you kind of wake up, and as a player, you don't actually know what's going on. You're getting filled in by all the stuff that you can take in and click on and look at. And there is only so much power in the space station. It's derelict, and there's, you know, and you're just trying to figure out what went on, what's happening, what's going on. And so when you open a door, I think it loses one power. And every time you do something that involves power, if you reopen that door, it doesn't use power. Let me put it this way. If you unlock a door, that is one power. But that door is now unlocked. You can go back through it anytime you need to.
Right.
So
right.
Just to be specific. Anyway, eventually you get to this, like, supply closet that has a oddly placed stand-up arcade machine in it. That when you go to that, it resets your time loop. In other words, now you get taken back to the beginning of the demo, but now you know that I've got to go through this door, I have to get this key card from here, I have to figure, you know, you kind of, oddly enough, and it's hard to describe this way, because I just told you, you lose power for doing all these things, but when you know what to do, you actually save power, you know? You can figure out, you get further and further and further in the demo because you're figuring out more and more stuff.
Yeah, you're streamlining your route.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you keep time looping over and over and over again. And so I got to the end of the demo. It didn't take long to get to the end of it, but I really enjoyed that. It starts with an R, and I say it starts with an R. I could be completely wrong on that, but I can't remember the name of it. So that's obviously not very helpful.
Maybe it'll pop up sometime during the show.
I mean, I'll give it a look and see if I can figure it out during the show, but during one of the breaks here.
Yeah.
No, it's not Rue Valley. It's a single word, by the way. In fact, if you typed in space station, and I'm doing this, time loop PC demo. Rivage. R-I-V-A-G-E. There you go. Okay. Rivage. That is the name of it. There we go. That was nice. That was easy to figure out. I did my detective work and figured it out on the air. So that's the name of it. I've played some other demos as well. I went through a lot. Oh man, what else did I play? I played a lot of incrementals, which is, What's a good way to it's a cookie clicker, but not idlers. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do some stuff, but you only get so much ability to do them. But when you do them, you earn XP to increase your abilities so you can do them more and buy upgrades and things like that. So I did a lot of incrementals. There were a lot of incremental games on the demos for Next Fest that I was into. Unfortunately, I can't remember their names. I would have to look at my Steam page, but it's very weird about demos. It doesn't show you much unless you've either played them or, yeah, I'm not sure. I'll try to take a look and see if I can figure it out. But anyway, we are at a break. Oh, and Steam is up. Okay, hang on. This says activity. Is this going to show me their activity or my activity? I know this is fun to listen to right now as I try to figure this stuff out. Where's my activity? My activity never shows anything. In fact, yeah.
Rivage reminds me a little bit of Enemy Zero.
That I'm not familiar with.
Saturn game from 96. Astronaut wakes up from cryogenic sleep, and somewhere between the point of going to sleep and waking up, some aliens took over the ship. Now he's trying to survive through that.
Mm.
But yeah, it was like waking up and something happened. Now you just got to figure out what to do, that type of thing.
Man,
I don't think I've ever finished that game either. And I want to say I've still got it.
I found all my demos.
Okay.
Found them all. So I played Wudu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it, but I played Wudu. I've played a game called Spooker, which is spooky snooker.
Hmm.
It's pool.
Pool, yeah.
But
the Halloween thing?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It's, again, a lot like Devil's Due, where you're competing against a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get a better score than he does, and then you pick different tables and that sort of thing. Yeah. I really liked that. I tried to play something called Normal Golf Game, which has some kind of underlying something going on with it. I did not like it.
Hmm.
It was frustrating inducing on just swinging the club. It was very, I think I may have mentioned this, very
quap-ish
yeah. with that.
Too many steps to do a simple thing.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
Yeah.
Let's see. This says Lost in Art demo, but it also says I only played 13 minutes of that, so I'm not sure. I can't remember that. Cozy Marbles was a game where you build marble tracks and you can...
Oh, Marble Madness?
You don't control the marbles. You just build the tracks the marbles go around.
No, okay.
Yeah. Whereas Marble Madness, you controlled the marble on a track, but not the case. Arcane Eats. I remember that. That was fun. That was a card game having to do with cooking against, like, you know, trolls and all these other things. And, you know, they were your customers in the shop. They wanted something specific. You would have to be able to make that with your cards. You had an HP. If they didn't get it in time or it was too cold or something like that, it would get knocked off. So, yeah. I think I told you about the grass chopper demo. I think where I was cutting grass.
Yeah, little dude with a scythe.
Yeah, cutting the grass. Dopaminer, that was another incremental. So was Drill Deep. These are all incremental games where you start out not doing a lot, but as you do it, you get money and resources to upgrade your drill or to get more time with it or something like that to where it increases and increases and increases, and eventually you're doing tons of stuff. Blood Dungeon. Was another one. Blood Dungeon is weird. It is like a... It's like a platformer mega bonk Vampire Survivors type thing.
So it's a compilation of a bunch of different stuff?
Yeah, it's a side-scroller type of thing. Not just side-scroller, you can go up and down with it as well, but it's a platformer. Where as you upgrade or whatever, you get all these different weapons firing in different directions, trying to hold off, you know, enemies that are zooming in for you. Hmm. They're coming in for you.
Looks like a Robotron.
Kind of.
2084.
It doesn't look like that, but
no, I mean,
you know.
The format, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. From the creators of Nidhogg, murder hordes of monsters in this 2D platforming auto shooter with a killer soundtrack. Collect blood, gold, and bones to increase your powers. Can you survive the blood dungeon?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks like a 2D Robotron looking game.
Yeah, so, I really liked
like
it.
I said, certainly doesn't look it, but yeah.
I enjoyed that one. Going through, I played a game called Dusk Fade. That one I put in 44 minutes of, so obviously I played a lot of that. It is a I would say a 3D hack slash type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But jumping, I don't know how to describe exactly what it is, but I enjoyed it enough. It was really pretty and it played well. So I really kind of enjoyed that, added it to the wish list. Mm-hmm. I played a game called Magic Archery. It's absolutely free. It is another, incremental type game. In fact, I played it for 57 minutes and I got all 7 achievements. It is, again, an absolutely free game. It's incremental. It's called Magic Archery.
Mm.
I played a game called Fallosophy. That is definitely on my list to pick up when it gets released. It is pinball related, but it is a never-ending playfield. The goal is to continue to move the ball upward, however you can. It will fall down a lot.
So is this like getting over it?
No. No, I would say not. Because it's not difficult, in other words. It's not a it's not quappish, you know, like getting over it was. Which I thought getting over it was, but maybe it's not.
No,
I know it's the same guy that did quap, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the falling down part. That's what gets me. That's what I was thinking about.
Well,
the,
if you imagine a pinball play field on a computer on a
no, I mean I'm
screen.
I'm looking at it now.
Oh, you are. Okay,
I'm looking
yeah.
it up. Yeah, and I just saw a long fall that this pinball did. It was a long way down. But yeah, I mean it made me think of the frustration that people got from the falling of getting over it.
Oh yeah, there were points where I was hoping that it wouldn't fall past a certain point because I was like, please don't go past that point because it was so hard to get to a certain point there.
Yep.
And trying to keep it going.
Just like
it's
getting
like,
over
please
it.
Please don't do that. Yeah. Anyway, the game talks to you the entire time in, I believe, subtitles, not in voices, but in subtitles. It talks to you.
I'm about to say.
Really cool.
I'm about to say, Getting Over does the same thing, talking to you.
Oh, does it? I haven't played Getting Over.
Yeah, Getting Over has the subtitles and the dude talking to you, but it ticks folks off more than anything
wow.
else. I mean, the Getting Over is a rage-inducing game. I can't think of any other reason. It's made to incite rage in its players. So I was thinking maybe something in this game was like that as well, especially the falling down part and the work you have to do to maintain your height in this game.
The other game I played was called Cloudbreaker. That is... It's kind of another incremental. You have a spaceship that you can upgrade with parts, with either movement speed or different types of attacks or shields or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
As you kill enemies, you gain XP in order to upgrade your ship. Mm-hmm. The way you upgrade, though, is when you place the parts that you are upgrading, you only have... The way the ship's inventory is laid out, you only have a certain amount of space, and they have to fit in there.
Yeah.
And you've kind of got to do an inventory management type situation.
Yeah, it's like the supply management in Resident Evil 4.
Exactly.
You got the case, and if that part doesn't fit in the case the way you arrange it, you can't keep it in there.
Exactly. Yeah. So I really, Cloudbreaker was again, I played 28 minutes of it, so I put that a win in my book, by the way. If I play a demo... for longer than, you know, 10 minutes. I'm probably pretty good with it.
Yeah.
For instance, the bills must be paid. That's another incremental where you have a hammer and piggy banks, and you just smash them to get the money inside of them. Mm-hmm. And as you do, you can upgrade how long you can remaining to hit the piggy banks, how many piggy banks show up, crit hits for the piggy banks, all these different things. Plus, you have to pay bills. I played that for 62 minutes. The Devil's Due, I got 14 achievements, played that for 35 minutes. Rivage, I played for 84 minutes. So I really, really like that. I played some more Proverbs, which I've talked about before. That's just a little, you know, it's a numbers type whatever game. I can't remember what they call them, but anyway. Yeah.
Looks like break stuff, get money. That's pretty much all it is, yeah.
Another incremental that I played was something called Fish Lab.
Hmm.
Where you catch fish, and when you do, they are worth a certain amount of money, and you take that money to upgrade your ability to catch fish. Yeah. A bunch of different ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other game I played most recently that I put in for 32 minutes now is Dench Attack. This is the... You would probably like this.
Jet Set Radio with trains.
Yeah, you would probably like this.
Yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah, it looks pretty interesting.
It does, especially when you learn the trick system, because you can... Seemingly, there's no penalty in this game as far as... as far as setbacks, you know what I mean? Like penalties as far as if you fail this, we're going to send you back to three courses or something like that. You know what I mean?
No, the only drawback I think it was if you fail to do a trick, your train may stumble or lose speed or something. Maybe something like it maintain the speed by keeping the tricks up or something along those lines.
No, if you fail. In other words, if you fail, you crash.
Yeah.
Which is the only fail state you have.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, there's no way to miss a trick other than slamming into a mountain. Like, there was once where I had my controls messed up. Instead of trying to drift, I say drift, whatever, instead of trying to brake on a turn.
You're drifting, yeah.
Yeah. I hit the jump button, which causes my train to jump. But I was in a tunnel at the time, so I crashed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's odd how many times I would do that, too, by the way. That's why I've got to play more of it so I can get my muscle memory control of like, here's how to do this. And then when you want to pull off tricks, my God, the amount of different tricks you can pull off and how they work is so, because it's all about the right thumbstick and the directions you move it in when you're in the air.
Yeah. It's like painting graffiti in a Jet Set Radio. It's like a right analog stick, pull it down and do a 180 up.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
It is,
you
know. I mean, playing it, looking at it, seeing it, gives me nothing but Dreamcast vibes.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Jet Set Radio with trains.
Absolutely Dreamcast vibes on it. So, great game. It is currently sitting at overwhelmingly positive on the Steam store. 700 reviews. It's overwhelmingly positive. And fantastic game. Something definitely to look at if you're into any of that stuff. I don't know that I'll stream it because I don't feel comfortable streaming because I'm still not great at it at the moment.
Hadn't stopped people before.
No, it hasn't. But I just don't. I don't feel like it would be entertaining to watch me learn how to play it.
Hmm.
I think it would be more entertaining to watch me play Fallosophy, that pinball thing that I was telling you about. Or even Marvel Snap.
Mm.
But
I'm about to say the reason people watch is going to be the same reason that people watch people play getting over it.
Perhaps,
the
maybe.
Rage.
Maybe. No. You would not get, no. If I get ragey, I quit.
Okay, yeah.
And it's not a rage quit thing. It's a sense of if I'm getting ragey, that means the game is getting to me. And I don't like when games get to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it when that happens. I've been in that position before with Destiny and a couple of others, and I don't like that.
Yeah, and there are some games out there that are made specifically to put you in that state.
I get it. They put you on tilt, and I don't like that.
No,
I mean,
it's not just getting you in tilt, like pulling on your heartstrings and things like that.
Oh, I don't mind that. If a story is there to give me emotional, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be any kind of emotion that a story can put in me, but I'm talking about the situations where I would be playing PvP in Destiny and get shot or, you know, and get annoyed by that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about
the rage inducing, about to throw your controller type situation. Yeah.
You know what? That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You see it happen in fighting game tournaments all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll
know,
see it
so
happen.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'll get tilted playing Snap sometimes because I'll feel like, here I go. I got the win. And then he pulls something out and it's like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of that. But I recognize that when it gets to that point or when I can feel I'm heading into that point,
mm-hmm.
I absolutely stop playing, move on to something else.
Yeah.
Something like Proverbs, which is great at cooling me off, you know, to where I just look at numbers and I, you know, click on the things and reveal some of the portrait and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm interested with folks is I guess what their cool off game is,
right? The one you just, what's your palate cleanser?
Yeah, but just like a friend of mine always said, turn your brain off and just play. That's just mm-hmm. just do that. Yeah.
I would say that Proverbs could be that game. Proverbs kind of sits there right now as my, and Dench Attack might actually turn that way as well, because Proverbs I enjoy because I can fire it up and play. I can pick a section on the board and say, fill that section out. You know, it can be a small one, it can be a big one. It can be a small one, whatever. And I'll just say, hey, do that real quick. And then I'll go through it and I'll do it. And if I see another section that's also smaller nearby, it's like, maybe I'll do that. Whatever the case, I can open it up, pick something, do it, turn it off. Dench Attack, I can open it up, play a track. You know, if I liked it or if I was happy with my results, I'll keep going. If I'm not, I'll keep replaying. And if I feel like it's getting to me, you know, I can stop. But I think Proverbs helps as being that palate cleanser. And probably some of these other incrementals that I was talking about could probably do that as well. Mm. But yeah, no, if I notice that I start to get that way, I absolutely abandon what I'm doing. Go watch a movie, get up, move around, whatever. Get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not a place I like to be.
Yeah.
I've never liked it. I've noticed it when I've gotten that way, and I've never enjoyed it.
I think for me, it's the 80s classics. I'll play like a Dig Dug,
mm-hmm.
Well, Pac-Man.
Yeah, but Agaga, for, yeah, something like that. Like you play some of these really hard games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how
Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it.
It.
But that's your that's your form of Zen, man. That's what works for you.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, not so much. But anyway, mm-hmm. We are way behind on taking a break here. So we're going to do that now. And when we come back, maybe jump into the news. It's not all bad news. I don't know if it's all good news, but it ain't all bad news.
Mostly bad.
There's some bad in there.
Yeah.
You know? Let me see. There's some good. Okay. We're going to talk about summer games done quick. There's mm-hmm. some good there. Mm-hmm. Got some Lego news. Yeah, we're okay. I mean, then we got some other stuff that's not great. But we'll get to those as we can. Here's music from, well, you'll recognize this, I think, Virtua Fighter 5 Revo.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen VF3, whatever that is. Anyway, I guess this is her track from Virtua Fighter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be right, VF3? Anyway,
hmm.
We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into the show. We really don't have enough time to really talk too much about anything. I'll do some...
Oh, goodness, I just noticed.
I know. We went a little long on that last segment there, so yeah.
Oops.
Lethal Migraine reminded me that the battle for third place is happening now for soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
The World Cup.
Yeah, we just saw
and
it.
And England is absolutely taking it to France.
Yeah, but can you get up to pay for third place if you...
Maybe. I don't know. There could be money involved, right?
Yeah, possibly.
You know, like first place gets this, which is massive. Second place gets this. Third place gets this. And what, France ain't even trying. Anyway, welcome back to the show. So not much time to kind of, we'll hit some of the highlights here. The summer games done quick. This is some of the good news. They raised $2.4 million for Doctors Without Borders. By doing, speed runs on games. And there's a ton of these that you can find on YouTube. I watched a couple of nights ago, probably more than a couple of nights ago, because I've been going to bed pretty early these last couple of days. Mm-hmm. It was one of those Mario-created levels. I say Mario-created. It was a Mario level, but one of those created Mario levels
mm-hmm.
that... require precise timing and jumping and almost map memory as to how it's done.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch.
Mario Maker?
It wasn't, it was probably made with Mario Maker, but this was called something else. It was called Super, the name of the creator was, it was Super, the name of the creator, and then like World 3 or something like that. I can't remember.
Make it sound like something like I Want to Be the Guy, something along those lines. It's ridiculously hard.
It's absolutely ridiculously hard. Yeah. Oh my God, it was ridiculously hard. And the levels were themed. There was one level where you had to carry a baby Yoshi, but you couldn't let him eat anything. If you let him eat anything, he would explode. And so you had to point him kind of, because he will automatically, if an enemy runs to you, he'll automatically eat the enemy. If you pass by a berry, he'll eat berry. Blah, blah. So you had to maneuver yourself while going forward, sometimes backwards, so that he would not touch anything like that. You know, so then, like, once you cleared the halfway point of that one, then he had to eat. There was a bar that they put up on the screen that if that bar got down to nothing, he, you know, he'd explode and you die. So you had to keep feeding him, making sure that he ate things. And it was, I mean, this guy was going through it crazy. But it was fun. It was fun to watch. Like I said, they were all themed. There was one level that required manipulation of the power button, the not the power button on your console, but the P
power block.
The P block.
Yeah.
That required you doing that. God, there was really, really good levels that they had come up with that were pretty amazing to see that being done. So, yeah. But anyway, 2.4 million Doctors Without Borders. That's great. Summer Games done quick. Good job. We got word of a new Lego set, and it's for Donkey Kong. I'm really interested in this one. Again.
Big one.
It's not too big. Well, you know, I don't know. It's a level. Here, I can link you. I'll link you into Twitch chat so that you guys can see it.
Yeah. The last one I was looking at was the Genesis one.
Yeah, this one looks more. I say this would look more akin to the Pac-Man one. It looks like it's the arcade thing. It is functional, by the way. There is movement on the board. You can make the barrels move. I think you can make Mario jump or Jumpman jump, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
I put a link in the Twitch chat so you guys could go see and take a look at the Donkey Kong Lego set. And I can't remember when that's supposed to be getting released. Leaked image. Nintendo and Lego have collaborated. It does not say when the set is to be released. But somebody's already seen it in store. They weren't able to buy it because they could not. The store would not allow it, but they found it in the store in one of the boxes, in one of the Lego boxes. I guess the store had sitting out. And so they tried to go buy it and they couldn't do it because it wasn't, I guess, in the register machine type thing. It wasn't already in their inventory type yet.
Yeah, some regional places that wouldn't stop them anyway.
Yeah, so they couldn't sell it. But yeah, we're getting a Lego Donkey Kong set, which I am happy about. What else can I give? What else can we look at here? We might get some more information about Kingdom Hearts 4 at D23. So says Game Informer here. D23 is happening. Well, when is it? August 14th to August 16th. And there's apparently something that's going to be doing a deep dive into Kingdom Hearts, which is likely where we'll get more info about Kingdom Hearts 4. And hopefully we'll get word on what they're going to do with the Muppets. That has nothing to do with gaming. I'm just really curious what they're going to do with the Muppets. We got that one episode of the Muppet Show that they did back in February. And we've heard nothing since, other than the fact that the show did very well for them, but they haven't done anything with it. One episode, that was it. I feel like if you're going to make all that stuff and go to all that trouble and it does successfully work, then you would hopefully give them a series pickup, maybe, or something like that. I'm still looking here just to see. if there's anything else. I can do this one. The guy who's playing Kratos for Amazon's God of War television show, he got himself injured on set, and they have to recast the character now. Which means they have to refilm. They have to go back and do all... I don't know how much they had gotten done. But his injury was, I guess, that bad.
Severe enough to... Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, let me see. Maybe it tells me.
I'm about to say, no stuntmen, no
professionals? He suffered a bicep tear.
Hmm.
He tore a bicep filming a stunt for the show in late June. At that point, he had already been shooting the part in Vancouver for months. Sources say 4 episodes had been fully completed by that time. Production was paused immediately after the incident. He underwent surgery, and he's now in recovery, but recovery from a serious bicep tear can take 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I was looking it up. It says recovery from a torn bicep typically takes 3 to 6 months for partial tears and non-surgical healing, while complete surgical repairs require 4 to 9 months for full strength and function. So, yeah.
Waiting for his recovery would have involved shutting the production down until sometime in 2027. Wow.
So spur of the moment replacement.
It seems this was longer than production company Sony and Amazon could stomach, and it's been cited to recast Kratos with the aim of restarting production in October. If the producers already have an actor in mind to replace him, Deadline's report does not identify them. The 4 episodes currently in the can will mostly need to be reshot. That sucks.
Yeah, because I was thinking, who's their backup, if they have a backup?
Yeah. It does not say anything. As far as who they're looking to cast or what they're... Yeah, we don't know. But yeah, that's going to get delayed quite a bit. All right, we're at the top of the hour. Let's go to our break here. I know that was a quick segment. We just spent too long on the opening segment, so try and even it out coming up in this next hour. Here is music from the game Stray. This is called Children Alone. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from Tales of... I guess it's pronounced Xillia? X-I-L-L-I-A?
Yeah, usually something like that. It does have a Z sound to the front. Yeah. But yeah.
I don't know any way you would... Exela, maybe? But I probably Xillia. Anyway.
Xilla. Close enough.
Very dramatic music. Anyway, welcome back to the show. All right, I just opened up some links to some stories here. So we're kind of going all over the place, but and there's not really one significant dominating story of the week like it has been for the past couple of weeks now with the Microsoft game, the job losses at Microsoft. There's still some fallout from that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of fallout, there's news about Fallout. We had the situation where PlayStation was going all digital getting rid of disc stuff. Like, there's not one central story this week, which is kind of nice to have. Doesn't necessarily mean there's not bad news to go around. There's plenty of that to go around. There was a report from this comes from GameIndustry.biz, a report from S&P Global Market Intelligence, Kagan, who gave a report that game console shipments are expected to fall 19.5% this year. They attribute the decline to higher console prices. Duh. Just, you know. Implemented to address the ongoing RAM and storage crisis, making consoles less affordable for consumers. This decline reverses the gains following last year's Nintendo Switch 2 launch, which had increased global console shipments by 13.5 to 42.1 million units. That's a lot. S&P's console forecast, compiled in July of 2026, includes only home gaming consoles from Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. So you're not looking at Steam machines here, which you wouldn't be. The data firm projects console shipments will fall to about 27.1 million units by 2027, with a gradual recovery to 37.4 by 2030. For now, the market faces a compounding problem. Hardware that is either too old or too expensive for the median consumer. A software slate that is too thin outside of a handful of tentpole releases. And a macro environment that keeps any meaningful price relief off the table. I was looking at, because then they go down our breakdown of the Nintendo Switch 2, the PlayStation 5, and the Xbox Series X, which is basically all of these are talking about what they've been doing. PlayStation 5 shipped 17.1 million units across all models in 2025. Microsoft shipped 3.2 million Xbox X and S consoles last year, which marked the lowest annual total on record, by the way. Quarterly shipments for Microsoft fell below 500,000 for the first time in their collecting of this information since during quarter one 2026. They attribute this significant decline, specifically talking about Microsoft, to an uneven first-party software library. Yes, their first-party games are limited, other than Forza at the moment. A subscription-first strategy that did not noticeably improve hardware sales, and pricing that now puts an Xbox Series X $100 above a standard PS5. Anyway, it's not looking good for gaming consoles, which is understandable because, as I understand it, well, that's Assassin's Creed and that's Xbox. I had something in here saying that it's not likely to... Well, I thought I had something here. I thought I had a news thing in here that talked about the fact that and I'm still looking to see if maybe I missed it. Maybe it's in my ones from today. Hang on. Bear with me. I apologize about this. Yep, it was one from today. My bad. That didn't get added into our sheet. Valve says that there is no end in sight to the memory crisis and prices are only going to increase. Basically saying the same thing that we've been telling you the entire time. The best time to buy these consoles, the best time to buy RAM, the best time to buy a PC was yesterday. But now, right now, is the best time to do it. I'm not saying because the prices are cheap. They are not. But they're not going to go any lower. They're only going to go get higher. And so tell me right now, if you are looking at paying these prices, how you will feel 3 to 4 months from now, maybe six, when these prices have increased even further. And you're thinking, boy, I should have bought one 6 months ago when it was whatever the price it was, whatever the price it is. So that's all I'm saying is like it's only going to go up. So if you are looking to get a console, you can wait, but you're going to be waiting for a very long time for these prices to come back down. A very long time for these prices to come back down. As the AI bubble gobbles up graphics cards, SSDs, memory sticks, and more, building a gaming PC is currently eye-wateringly expensive, but it's never really been cheap. If, like me, you've been holding out the hope that these prices will drop to more sensible levels soon, excuse me, that is looking unlikely. Earlier this month, research showed that memory prices are predicted to rise sharply between now and 2027, with no reductions expected until 2028. Valve has shared its own view of the hardware market, and it's equally glum. Speaking to Bloomberg about the company's long road to the Steam Machine, the Valve engineer said the company only sees prices going up in the short to medium term. He said, honestly, it's still getting worse. Just in case people are not aware, what people are seeing on retail shelves right now, from our observation, is lagging what we're seeing from a bulk supply by at least 3 to 6 months. Valve also provided some insight into how the memory crisis affected the Steam Machine's launch. Unsurprisingly, initial supply of the Steam Machine was impacted by memory availability. We're basically building everything we can. We're limited by memory capacity for sure. Valve didn't go into detail about how many Steam Machines have been produced or sold up to this point, but according to Bloomberg, Valve does not view the success of the device in terms of raw sales figures. Rather, it's about providing players with a viable option for open source PC gaming in their living rooms. They also said the memory crisis hasn't altered Valve's plans for the future of the device. Users are getting their machines. For a lot of the experience, the work starts. We'll be doing that for years to come. So, yeah. It's not going to change. It's not going to stop. Oh, man. That's not what I wanted. There we go. Let me look and see what else I added for today's stuff that got past me here.
Nice to remember what you talked about with consoles, how old the PS5 and how old the Series X is, and they're going up in price.
Right.
Yeah.
Normally at this time during a console's lifespan,
yeah,
you're getting it on the cheap by now. You know, the holidays come around, regardless, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Holidays, they'd just be cheaper. You're not going to see that this year. I mean, you may see a cheaper price. More than likely, what I think you'll see is, rather than a cheaper price, I think you'll see bundles. In other words, you can pay for the PlayStation 5 at whatever the price is right now, or the Xbox Series X, whatever the price is. And while the price won't be less than what it is, also the price will likely be more by then. But anyway, while the price won't be less than what it is, it'll be like, hey, you get another controller in a game or something like that. You know what I'm saying? They'll throw something in. It'll be a bundle of some sorts that you can buy.
Yeah, the way things used to be years ago.
Dude, I remember waiting outside of a Best Buy for Black Friday, back when you could do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I loved doing that. I know people are like, oh, I don't like being out on Black Friday. I absolutely agree with you. I don't like being out on Black Friday. But at the Best Buy, when you could stay in line, you could wait in line from the night before, and then get in and get your stuff and go home. I didn't feel like I was amongst the crowd doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did a Black Friday one time. That's the last time I did it.
I absolutely don't like going out on Black Friday.
Yeah, I saw some interesting human behavior. I'll just put it that way.
But I loved doing the campouts, waiting to get into the store. I loved doing that. But by the way, there was also a lot of really good stuff discounted at that time when I was doing that. As it went on, there was nothing. There was nothing that I was like, you know, I don't need anything. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, initially the deals were something, but over time, yeah, it just became the deals just got worse and worse until there's no allure to
it
anymore.
Yeah, it really lost the allure.
Yeah, by the time you got to especially the Best Buy, it was the Best Buy that I went to that first time I did it, and by the time we got to the door, the signature item was all rain check.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured, yeah,
that was the fun about it, you know, if it did have a signature item, but at the time it was like, I don't need a new TV, even though the TVs were fantastically priced. Mm-hmm. I didn't need a console, but you know, I was there picking up, I don't know, there was always something that I was there for.
I think in my case, I picked up Uncharted, it was either 2 or 3, it was like half off,
mm-hmm.
and I picked it up. And I just went from there.
Well, it was like small kitchen appliances or something like that. It was rarely games because mm-hmm. chances are it was a game I already owned. Or I didn't want it because it was on console and I was playing on PC.
Hmm.
Which they never put on Black Friday sale.
I'm trying to remember if Pure was there as well.
Because it was Pure, game? Pure?
Pure, yeah. The ATV racing game. I want to say, because I know I walked into a store and it was like really low priced. And it was just a spur of the moment pickup, but for, I think it was $10, and I got a whole lot of fun out of that game for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was during that time when I picked up Uncharted.
Oh yeah, back when I was buying Blu-rays, man.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good deals on Blu-rays back then, 4Ks or whatever else. Actually, it wasn't 4Ks at the time. 4K was not something we thought of at the time. anyway, back to the news. Sony released a new trailer for Marvel's Wolverine, which, by the way, absolutely shows no gameplay. It is all cinematics. It is all something produced specifically as an advertisement. I have no idea if any of that stuff is actually in the game, but yeah. Anyway, it was posted less than 2 days ago and already has over 10,000 comments, all of them taking a shot at Sony for their physical games. Or for their lack of physical games.
I think what happened over this past week, since the backlash is still going, that anything that Sony releases on social media, the only comments you're going to see is talking about physical discs and their decision. I mean, they're not talking about whatever they put up there. I mean, from what I'm gathering, some folks was like releasing info on their new games put out, and the only thing in there, nothing about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about what they've shown.
Just talking about what Sony's done.
They can show gameplay and everything like that. They can show you everything they got to offer. And the only thing they got going on in the comment section is discs.
Yeah, somebody wrote, "Can't wait to feel the physical copy in my hands." Nothing beats the joy of opening the wrap, reading the back, and know you own the game. Can't wait to play Wolverine's physical disc on my PS5. What else do we have? Wolverine was really getting physical in this trailer. He is such a distinct presence.
Subtle.
Very. Yeah. Anyway,
that's the thing. It's not the game makers. It's Sony. But anything related to Sony, if you put Sony's name on it, the only thing that's going to come up is about discs. So man.
Yep. Speaking of that, there's a couple of things about this. Sony now owns Crunchyroll. They have owned Crunchyroll for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they are now kneecapping physical anime sales. I know this has nothing to do with gaming, but it kind of goes back into the situation.
Sony's money-making policies and everything like that. It's on everything they own. Yeah.
Not only is it a streaming service for anime, it's also got an online store where you can buy physical media.
Yeah.
However, to move that has familiar echoes to Sony's decision to end production of PlayStation game discs, the Crunchyroll store is being severely scaled back, and fans of anime on discs are very unhappy. So it's bleeding over into other aspects of what Sony deals with.
Yeah.
And then the GameStop CEO, the chief executive officer of GameStop, the guy that was trying to buy eBay, if you remember, Ryan Cohen is his name. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Bloomberg and was asked about the demise of physical video game discs after Sony recently announced that they were ending production beginning in 2028. He said, it doesn't matter at all, he told Bloomberg. It's totally irrelevant. As pointed out by Bloomberg, while at one point GameStop's primary business was software sales, the company has shifted in recent years to selling collectibles, trading cards, toys, and other items like Funko Pops. Earlier this year, GameStop announced that the game sales only accounted for 18% of its revenue. Mm. A store called GameStop only makes 18% of revenue off of video games. Mm. Now, I'm sure console sales go into that. I'm sure controller sales go into that, peripheral type, whatever, you know, different things for your machines and for your gaming and that sort of stuff. Obviously, probably aren't in that 18% that they said, but physical games themselves, they only make 18% of that. Meanwhile, the trading cards and the toys make up 41% of its business. That's massive for a store called Game. You can change your name. According to Cohen, this shift is why he pursued his plan to purchase and acquire the bidding site eBay for around $55 billion, but they said no. Let's see. He was also asked about Grand Theft Auto 6, since it'll be a digital-only product. He didn't answer the question and instead replied, "I want to go back and talk about eBay." This move means that GameStop is not going to be able to sell used copies of GTA 6 after it launches. And with the reports that GTA 6 may never get a physical release beyond a code in a box, GameStop might never get to sell used copies of GTA 6. So, yeah. He also hasn't given up his plans to buy eBay, by the way. So,
Keep the dream alive.
Somebody commented, I walked into a GameStop store last weekend, my first visit in nearly a year, and it had been at least 3 years before that. Based on the displayed inventory, video games themselves are irrelevant to whatever business model they're employing in that place. Aside from a scant few empty boxes representing stock of two-plus-month-old releases, most of it was stuffies, T-shirts, and Magic Pokemon cards. It's been a while since I've been into one as well. I don't remember the last time I was in a GameStop.
It's been about 6 to 8 months for me. Just a spur of the moment decision to see what was going on.
Yeah, I've had that itch every time, you know, if I'm near one to like, hey, let's stop in and go in and see what they got, you know? And when I say see what they got, I'm not actually thinking about video games when I say that, because it's not that I don't play console video games anymore, but I'm very, very, I know what I'm going to play on my console. Mm-hmm. If I see a game that I want to play in the store, outside of it being like $2 or something, I'll be like, let me see if I can get that on PC. I'd rather have that ability to play it on my Steam Deck or, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'll play Wolverine on PS5. I don't need to go into a GameStop and buy it. You know? Mm-hmm. I'll pick it up somewhere or download it digitally or whatever the case. I'll own it.
Yeah.
It's not a situation for me of going in and needing to go to GameStop to get the game.
Yeah.
You know, I can buy it from Amazon, Best Buy, whatever.
I think what it was is I go into a GameStop and I treat it like a retro store.
Kind of.
I think that's what I'm treating GameStop like.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I just go in there and I go in there and look up at the if anybody's familiar with the GameStop, all the big or collector's items things are near the ceiling on the upper racks where they got to get the ladder up. So you just look up and see what's up there.
Yeah.
And you see an old collector's item or an apparatus that you need, like a fight stick or a steering wheel, something like that. And you see the price on it and see if it's doable.
Yeah.
If it's something you were thinking about picking up. Or you see games in there like, oh, I didn't know that was released. I never heard about that. It looks kind of interesting. I might pick that up. Or you go in there and see a buy two, get one free sale, something along those lines.
Right.
Things like that. So, yeah, I think that's the reason I go in there. Every now and then you just look and see what's available and see if it's at a price that's viable for you. So, yeah, that's what I've been treating GameStop as lately, if I'm
know.
In the area.
It's just, I again, I know it's a game, it's a store called GameStop, but I just don't think of video games when I think about it. I think of the collectibles. I think of, like you said, it's kind of a retro store, mm-hmm. Sort of thing. Of course, then there's also Retro Game Planet.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. which is absolutely a retro store.
Yeah.
Well, interesting, Retro Game Planet has more games, I would say, has more games inside of it than a GameStop does.
Actually, I can see that.
He's got a ton.
I can see that, yeah.
He has got a ton of games in there mm-hmm. at Retro Game Planet. Yeah. But GameStop, not so much. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. Before we do, by the way, France has really done a good job of coming back. It's now a one-point game with...
England.
Yeah, but there's only like 20 minutes left of regular play.
Well, in the soccer game, a lot can happen in 20 minutes, man.
Oh, it absolutely can. And they haven't added additional time, but yeah.
Yeah.
So it's 67 minutes in, and it's 4-3 England right now. Hmm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will hit up, you know, some more of this news here for our last little segment. We got music here from a game called The Last Caretaker, a game I was interested in. However, it did release in early access. And the demo that I played for it frustrated me, and I said, nope, I'm not playing you anymore. Because... you're too frustrating to figure out in just your demo. And so I said, no, I'm not going to. I was interested. I played your demo, didn't like it, moved on. Here's music from that. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Dead Static Drive. Kind of like the music for it. Dead Static Drive, the name of the track is called Running on Empty. Okay, where were we on our talking here? On our chatting? More bad news, you ask? Sure, I'll give you some more bad news. a new report based on testimonies of people affected by Microsoft's recent cuts to the Xbox division has painted a picture of secrecy, disarray, and anger, and of a company left reeling as further layoffs loom. The restructuring was done last week, immediately laying off 1,600 people and slating a further 1,600 to be cut sometime between now and next summer. But no one yet knows who those jobs will belong to, meaning staff are working in fear of what might come. According to one source affected by the layoffs, I don't know how anyone remaining at Xbox Studios can feel safe knowing another 1,600 cuts are coming. And even then, what happens after June of 2027? Will we get layoffs in July for a third year in a row? Said staff were kept to the dark about the restructuring for weeks after the initial report said layoffs were on their way. Higher-ups didn't know or did not say, said one person. It was left to all of us to speculate and spiral and worry. That really kind of sucks. I get it that they, I suppose they just couldn't, I don't know, couldn't do anything or wouldn't do, I don't know. Like you have to wait for this specific moment. Like, you know, you're going to fire people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to cut jobs. You have likely already figured out at least the departments that are going to show cuts. Maybe not the specific positions that will, but you know that this department needs to lose this many people. This department needs to lose this many people. There's probably an answer for it. I've not been trained in the management ways of knowing why you hold on to people until it's time to tell them to leave type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I've witnessed a lot of people who will put in their 2 weeks and the company will just say, that's okay. You go ahead and go, you know. Mm-hmm. They'll put the 2 weeks in, but we won't have to fill. I say we, but didn't have to be filled. And so you go ahead and go, we'll cover that position until we get somebody else to fill it. But you can go ahead and leave. Like, you could put in your 2 weeks, but they would go ahead and just let you leave. Paying you out those 2 weeks, but you don't have to come to work or anything. Mm-hmm. It's more like, if you don't want to work here, just go ahead and go. But I've never worked for like a big, like Microsoft's huge.
Yeah,
I've never worked for a company that massive to know like this is how corporate works, right?
Yeah. That was, I've only seen things like to avoid tenure or the only one I've seen anything like that was like a old pay system to a new pay system. The guys who was getting like much more money on the old pay system that they couldn't wait for them to leave, or they encourage retirement, things like that. I've seen things like that before.
When the announcement did finally come, staff were gathered for brief one-way video calls and were unable to ask questions in response, which isn't uncommon when addressing large teams about serious issues like this. However, at id Software specifically, staff affected by the layoffs were only told 10 minutes before a meeting was called to announce them, meaning some people didn't make it, and then their Slack and email access were immediately revoked, leaving them unable to be contacted.
Seen that before, too. As soon as someone's out, all access to everything in the company is gone.
Yeah, what capacity id Software has to make its own games and maintain proprietary engine id Tech after losing 136 staff is unclear. They insist it still has the crew we need to build the games and tech we're known for, but a source in this report said they've just gotten rid of all the people who could ever fix it, or fix, maintain, or change the tech. So it's most likely going to end up in the trash can. 90% of the team responsible for overseeing AI and gameplay, and they're not talking about the AI that you're thinking of. They're talking about the way the
game behaves.
The game behaves, yes. That type of AI. Not talking about the AI slop. Those people who oversee the AI and the gameplay has all been laid off. A veteran who had worked with founding id Software icons Carmack and Romero, that guy has been let go. Employee number 13. Which means he's been there for a while if he is number 13.
Yeah.
Right? It's an especially cruel blow for id Software on the week it should have been celebrating the release of Doom the Dark Ages expansion Revelation. But the cuts aren't exclusive to it. They reach all across Bethesda and ZeniMax. Bethesda Game Studios lost a lot of talent this week. Xbox says they want to focus on their core franchises like Fallout and Elder Scrolls, but that's going to be harder because you cut people from the team.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we got news about that. They are apparently working on, what did it say from Bethesda? They confirm Fallout 3 and New Vegas are getting remasters. They made it official that they are doing a collaboration with Obsidian. And they also say that Fallout 5 is in pre-production. So. Nobody cares about that from Bethesda. All they care about is Elder Scrolls 6. Like, Fallout? No. Yeah. Fallout, we don't care about. You know? Fallout will get there. Mm-hmm. In the order of what you need to release, Elder Scrolls should be next. Not another Fallout. Not more DLC for Starfield. Elder Scrolls 6 should be the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Given how long that thing has been teased and talked about.
Mm-hmm.
but not shown. We've seen nothing from it. I think we saw, just a mountain range. That was it. And a title card. And that's all we ever saw. And that was like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. It was a while back.
Yeah, been a minute.
Yeah, so we're not getting that.
Maybe they're tying it into that TV show.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
More bad news. Striking staff at Ubisoft Barcelona have slammed the company's initial severance pay offer as below any reasonable standard after employees were told that up to 51 jobs were being eliminated. They were announced last month, of course, after the game went live, as part of a wider wave of job losses across the firm. 380 staff are being let go in this latest downsizing, spread across offices in Winnipeg, Barcelona, and a couple of other places as well. The plight of Barcelona's staff has sparked headlines with the likely job losses contracted against the commercial success of Black Flag Resynced, which sold an impressive 2 million copies in just 24 hours. While development on Resynced was led by Ubisoft Singapore, Barcelona contributed significantly to the title. It's previously been reported that the company handled Resynced's underwater diving side missions, though IGN understands that the studio also developed a bunch of other locations, quests, and contracts as well. Several main quests were handled by Barcelona's team. Yesterday, as negotiations began to save some roles and secure fair severance pay for those leaving, remaining Barcelona staff from Ubisoft joined a strike with around 90 people in attendance. Photos from the walkout show a large banner that reads Corporate Greed in the style of Assassin's Creed. And flags for the CGT, the General Confederation of Labor Union. Now, staff impacted by the planned redundancies have spoken to IGN about the current situation and said that a further strike will take place or took place on July 16th. The severance pay they're offering is far below the minimum expected and below what they've offered for previously laid off employees from the studio. There are still discussions about saving some of the jobs, and it's likely that at least some will move to Rainbow Six, but the job positions themselves seem quite definite, and the Assassin's Creed team has been certainly cut as well. So, yeah, more bad news. Hey, let's move over to Marathon, because they lost someone this week as well. The game director of Marathon, Joe Ziegler, announced today that he will be leaving Bungie. Today was his last day at the studio, and today being the 17th, yesterday. The news comes less than a month after the studio lost approximately half of its workforce and shuttered development on Destiny 2. Ziegler will be succeeded by somebody else, another creative director. They'll both be taking over to try and salvage what's left of the Marathon dream. Ziegler says that he'll be heading to something new somewhere else, and will update you on where and what soon. But for now, the future of both Marathon and Bungie feels incredibly bleak just a few years after Sony's $3.6 billion purchase of the studio. It sounds like he had something planned. In other words, like he's got something else lined up. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he had something else lined up. In other words, I don't think anybody came to him and said, hey, man, you want this job over here that we're working on? I think he went out and found another job.
Mm-hmm.
If what he's saying is true, I think he went out and found another job because that boat's a little rocky over at Bungie right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're making those cuts, they're probably making cuts that start with, the different types of pay. Like, hey, we're paying you a lot of money, you know. We can continue to pay these three other people what we're paying them to cover the job that we're paying you this amount of money for. In other words, we'll bump them up, give them a little increase in pay that doesn't match what you make per year type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like you'd be the next to go. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just speculating. I'm not sure. Again, I've never worked for a company that is that big to know that that's how things are handled.
Yeah, but you know the deal. Get the most for the least.
I get it, yeah. So, yeah. But I also know how to add hats to other people,
yeah.
and keep the ship afloat,
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So I understand that part of it. But given what we know about Bungie and what's happened over there, especially with the cuts, the Sony not being happy with them. It just doesn't look good for Bungie to hang around much longer. And so that guy's like, found me a life preserver type thing. Mm-hmm. I'm jumping ship. So,
yeah, I know what's coming. Time to prep.
All right, so we did the Kratos thing. There was an article about GTA 6 and why it's not on PC. And there's a former Rockstar producer who was giving an interview on YouTube. He described a time when games were typically made for PC first, focusing on the strongest hardware and then downsizing it for consoles before launch. This led to console ports that were kind of crappy because they were trying to cram in optimization for weaker hardware at the last minute. And he says, so you're much better off starting with the constraints. Shrinking is a lot harder than extending to more powerful hardware. He said, oh, we've got extra room? Cool. We can de-optimize some things or make them more shiny. He then punched us in the gut, noting that back when the first Red Dead Redemption was in the lab, they had a PC port working very early in development. By the way, the PC version of the first Red Dead Redemption didn't release until 2024. 14 years later. Wow. That's not typical, by the way. Grand Theft Auto 5 got a release on PC, within a year to 2 years, I would say?
Okay.
After the release?
Mm-hmm.
But the first Red Dead didn't make it to PC until 14 years later. And it says you can blame GTA 5. According to him, getting PC versions ready is more about development priorities. It's not that we don't care about PC. It was worth spending time getting a PC port going versus working on GTA 5. Is that, which one is the better way to go?
Mm-hmm.
It's never any specific anti any platform. If you're working on that, you're not working on something else usually. There has to be enough of a business reason to do some of these ports. Or the lift has to be so light that it'll be super easy to do, and it's rarely super light. He points out there were cases of legitimate hardware limitations in the past when developing for console compared to PC. That power gap is definitely closer now. But what it reads like is the sense that, look, we'd release it on console because that's where we start now. We start on console, and then we add to this. We enhance and add to it for our PC release, rather than build it on PC and then start cutting back so it'll fit on console. That seems to be the case. So, game console shipments. I'm just looking over more stuff. It looks like we're going to get to all of our news here. Pal World pulled in almost 900,000 players over the weekend. That's his second highest peak ever. That's the Pokemon.
That's the competition to Nintendo's Pokemon.
Yeah. One of those, yeah, where it's like, you're very close to ripping off Pokemon. And they're like, well, we're not. Mm-hmm. We did the legal legwork and we're completely safe. Outside of like one specific thing that I think they changed so that they could, get away from the lawsuit. So that was about it. The other thing was, I need to crack open my Steam Deck. Because I'm on the Steam Deck Reddit, and obviously the bad news always sticks out more than the good news does, right? The LCD Steam Deck, it launched in 2022. 4 years later, it seems Valve was apparently sunsetting replacement parts for that older model, which is the model I have. A Redditor reached out to iFixit to find out about the availability of a replacement battery for their LCD Steam Deck. These batteries, by the way, they start to inflate. They start to expand. That's when they're going bad.
Gas buildup or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's these little pouch-like batteries, and they start to inflate and expand. It's very bad, because obviously if it breaks, you're going to have leakage and all sorts of stuff in your deck, and it's a bad thing. I need to pop mine open just to see and make sure it's good. It should be, but I don't know. iFixit responded to this guy and said that it was looking less and less likely that they were going to receive more of the OEM batteries for that particular model, the LCD model. Another representative chimed in the comment thread under the Reddit post saying, to add clarity, it's not that we're choosing not to stock these anymore. It's just that Valve has started to sunset these parts, and we're trying to find alternatives. However, Valve has now updated. July 16th, we reached out to Valve for a comment last night. A representative has since responded saying, we have confirmed with iFixit that they plan to have batteries back in stock by next week. The CEO of iFixit also shared an update on the situation last night. Valve has reached out and is sending us a new batch of Steam Deck LCD batteries. We will move heaven and earth to keep supporting these handhelds. So it looks like it's not, you know, it's not bad yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think England's going to win this, by the way. It is now 5-3, and they have about 5 to 6 minutes left in play total. Mm-hmm. So unless France can score two in 5 minutes, that's about it. So I think that's going to do it for us. I know Dave's listening, by the way. Hi, Dave. Dave, let me know. I put up the wrong video for this past week. I put a December video up for some reason. A video from December I put on our YouTube page. I had to go back and make the change, but what I forgot to do was change it on all of our links and everything else. So it's a little strange, but... But yeah, I'll make sure that that's fixed. And thanks, Dave, for letting me know. Anyway, I think that'll do it. I think we're done. Thank you guys so much, everybody, for hanging out in the chat room. I really, you know, we always appreciate it when you guys are in there and hanging out and supporting us as well. The 15th came and went, and this was the re-up on our hosting thing.
Yeah,
that we were raising money for, and we got there, and that was great. So thank you. Everybody who helped make that happen. Really do appreciate that. The price did go up, by the way, but we recovered because of you fine folks listening. All of you in there. We, again, can't thank you enough for your support. Not just in that realm, but also support of showing up every week. Support of just keep coming back. I know that when I was having... the neck surgery and I couldn't do the show for a few weeks. And I know when I had my gallbladder surgery and I couldn't do it, when I had the heart attack and I couldn't do it. You guys were still here, you know, taking weeks and months off for health reasons. And you guys are still here. So thank you. We do appreciate that. And RJ, you're still here. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you coming in and listening to everybody else. So thank you so much. That's going to do it. You got any plans to play anything in the coming week?
I don't think I'm going to look at Densha Attack because it came out.
Did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it yet.
I know
you've
been
in the cart.
You're eyeing it.
Yeah, I got it in the cart.
Because on PlayStation, it's $20.
Yeah, $20.
Which really sucks because on PC, anytime a game gets released on Steam, there's always a, you know, like a $5 discount for the first, like, few days that it's released.
Yeah.
You know? And it sucks that you can't, that they don't do that on other.
Is it Sony
storefronts? Well, I know. Right now, Sony's not in good graces with the gamers at the moment, nor the animators, which is even a bigger crowd to be.
Yeah. But consider what they did with all those movies recently. I mean, is anything surprising? Is anything to do regarding entertainment?
What they're doing
right
with
now?
The movies, what they're doing with the games now, getting rid of physical media, getting rid of your digital media.
Mm-hmm. Without your knowledge.
You're kind of, All right, well, hopefully you get a chance to play, or if you do get it, you get a chance to play it when you hear about it next week.
Yeah.
We are going to go, the problem is that my next song is only 1:17 long, and we've still got 2 minutes to go before we hit the top of the hour here, so I'm kind of biding my time for just a little bit here. I would give you play-by-play, but like I said, England's going to win this, no problem. I don't see France coming back on this thing.
Well, who are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Tomorrow, well, I've got to work on my random facts that I normally work on. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the final game in the World Cup.
Yeah, so. that's what I was thinking. Who you got in the finals?
I want Argentina to win.
All I'm hoping for is no controversy.
I think we can hopefully make that happen. Mm-hmm. I say we can. I don't have any play in it at all. So.
Yeah, we're just going to watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And hopefully, here's what I hope is that it's not. I hope it's a good game. I hope it's not something like this thing started out with 4-0, 5-0, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely. Then it's like, no, it's not fun to watch. Yeah. So. All right. Here's music from Biped 2. It's the title screen menu music thing, so not really a track to worry about, but that's the music for it. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.